attention. I can't get no call to action, but I try, and I try, and I try, and I try.
Hello and welcome to They Might Be Right, the argumentative podcast cousin of Call to Action. A touchier, tetchier format that's been known to ruin a family game of Uno by making its nephew eat the pick-up four card he just smugly dropped. Taking our lead and name from Bill Birnbach's legendary pocket card, we shall be handing the floor to a group of expert opinion mongers and asking them to prod mercilessly at one of their industry's tenderest nerves. It's like a Jean-Claude Van Damme film, with the single but vital exception that mumbling in Flemish and doing the splits is unlikely to settle anything. This edition is a law special, which may turn out to be ironic if it ends with the police breaking up the inevitable descent into fisticuffs. And the motion we're tabling today is partners are no longer the primary source of growth. They Might Be Right is brought to you by Gasp, and I'm Giles Edwards, co-founder and ref. While the legal-minded scrappers at whom I'll be chanting fight, fight, fight are Claire Quinn Waters, the first ever Chief Growth Officer at Edwin Co., which makes her, not surprisingly, a strong advocate for tackling growth in a different way. We also have Leo Franks, Chief Commercial Officer at Kingsley Napley, who is responsible for everything from brand development to brand growth. Next to a swagger into the ring is Adelshaw Goddard's Chief Marketing Officer, Laura Otley, who has been responsible for doubling the size of the firm's marketing department since taking up her post. And finally, we have Matt Skipper, who is Head of Business Development at Mills & Reeve, a vocal champion for not treating brand and business development like a piece of admin and training hard to do it well. Now, that sound you can hear in the background is the cracking of knuckles and the quiet murmuring of threats, which means we better crack on with opening statements. A quick reminder, our motion is partners are no longer the primary source of growth, and we will hand the opening haymaker to Claire. The floor is yours.
So I support the motion, not because partners don't matter, but because growth in a modern law firm is way too complex, way too data-led, and way too relationship-led to sit with individual rainmakers alone. For decades, law firms have operated on a pretty simple assumption that growth comes from talented partners bringing the work in. But the problem is that clients don't buy like that anymore. So long before a prospect speaks to a partner, they've already formed opinions through referrals, content, social media, rankings, podcasts, reviews, conversations with colleagues. So the relationship might still be won by a partner, but the opportunity itself has often been created by dozens of people across the firm. So if we think growth today is about brand, client experience, marketing, business development, technology, cross-selling, client listening, collaboration, the firms that are pulling ahead are not necessarily those with the biggest rainmakers, but they're ones who are pulling that growth into a system. So to summarize, I would say the partners remain incredibly important, but they're not the primary driver.
Fantastic. Well said. Moving over to you, Leo.
Well, I'm against the motion, actually. A lot of what Claire said absolutely resonates with me. But I think the context we're currently navigating is AI and how we fund growth in AI, how we integrate AI into our business models, how we price with AI. But in my view, outside of a subset of low margin commoditized services, relationships remain absolutely fundamental, whether that's with owner managed business clients or private individuals or multinationals. And in my view, still today, humans matter more in relationships than anything else. And in a lot of situations, the partner, the senior fee earner, whatever their title, is absolutely fundamental to those relationships. So I oppose the motion.
Fantastic. Next up, Laura, what say you?
So I say that I also am firmly against the motion that partners are no longer the drivers, the primary drivers of growth. And look, I hear everything that Claire says. Growth today is no doubt a team sport, one that marketing, BD, tech, all elements of the legal team play a huge contribution to. And I fully buy into the fact that everyone has a part to play in growing this business. But the reality is that recognizing that others contribute to growth and play a huge part in that team sport is not the same as saying that partners are no longer the primary driver of it. The reality is, it is the partners that actually are where it all starts from. the clients themselves might be influenced by things they see, read, or data that we put in front of them. But ultimately, what they're really buying, what they're truly buying, is that partner advice, the partner judgment, the partner relationships. And that is what we expect from our partners and is what really delivers the growth. I think on top of that, partners' job is also to lead, to actually lead their business and to create a high performance environment where others in their team also grow the business. So ultimately, they're responsible for ensuring that others in the team deliver growth as well, which is why I'm firmly against the motion.
Thank you very much. And last but not least, what say you, Matt?
So I too am against the motion, really sort of off the back of what both Laura and Leo have said, particularly Leo, around the human skill and the human element to what we do with clients is something that really kind of has driven that decision. The statement itself kind of almost misunderstands, in my view, how growth happens in legal services. We're going from a situation where we've got partners who have, you know, historically led from the front and the rainmaker partners that Claire talks about. But actually, those partners are now supported by a hugely sophisticated and more commercial set of teams beneath them. But however those teams support partners and support firm growth, it's actually the partners that essentially kind of, you know, end the product, if you like. They close the deal, they develop the client relationship, and they are also responsible for delivering more growth from those client relationships. And therefore, I think it's partner-led growth, but supported by a much kind of broader commercial infrastructure, if you like.
Okay, nice. Well, I feel this isn't immediately the fairest of fights, given we have 1-4-3 against, but I hope we can at least explore and celebrate some of the grayscale. So it's time for the main event, the Law Special. 20 minutes, no holds barred, slugfest of proper debate.
Let's get ready to rumble.
To start things off, I might ask Claire, would you mind qualifying and what counts as driving growth? Is it winning the pitch or being the reason the firm was in the room at all?
And that's the really good point, is the partners can absolutely manage the relationship. Managing the relationship and originating growth are two different things. And I think it's really important to separate that out. So yeah, being in the room, really important. Closing the deal, really important. They're often not at the beginning of the conversation. So if we're talking about growth, absolutely. Partners need to maintain those relationships. They need to work with their teams around them, like Laura said. But in terms of originating that growth, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just disagree with Claire. I think what you're talking about there is everyone playing their part and actually recognizing the fact that it's not just the partner who closes the deal that actually is the reason for the growth. So I do accept your point there, that they're not the sole drivers of growth. But I think collaboration is what creates the growth. But ultimately, you still need somebody to lead that. And I think they might not be the only participants in the growth, but the reality is they are responsible for it. You know, they have to put the money in, they are responsible for that growth, and therefore they remain the primary driver of it, in my opinion.
I think they should be. I think that's absolutely right, but that's not always the case, is it?
I look at it as a four-stage journey: recognition, reputation, relationships, and revenue. And I think there's been a flux in the level of ownership and participation partners have in those over the last few years, especially with the advent of new tech and better data. On the recognition piece, I think partners perhaps have less a role to play today with all of the advances that we've seen recently. On the reputation piece, I think it's still very much about the individuals, the firms. So I think partners very strong still today in that place. The relationships piece is the one that I touched on in my opening remarks, where I see less impact from technology, from data than perhaps elsewhere. And on the revenue piece, and I take some of your points from earlier on, Claire, but I still think that's heavily individual partner led. So my view on those four is there's a shift, there's a gradual shift, especially at the early parts of that journey. But at the latter parts of the journey, for many clients, especially outside of commoditized services, people still matter tremendously.
I think that's absolutely right at the latter part, for sure. But partners increasingly aren't at the beginning of that buyer journey. So if they're the primary driver, arguably, I'd suggest that's not the case.
I guess it depends where the majority of your growth comes from, doesn't it? Whether it's coming from new clients or whether it's coming from existing clients or whether it's coming from, you know, maybe relationships that were dormant and then have reignited. So I guess that's the thing, isn't it, Claire? And I think if you're talking about brand new clients, I can see why you're saying the partner is not always at the front of that, because somehow they've had, that new client has had to be influenced by something they've read or seen. But ultimately, that's difficult to quantify in terms of growth. For me, growth is financial. And every partner, certainly, and I know in our business, has some strong growth targets that they have to adhere to every year. And if they don't meet them, then there's questions about their remuneration. So I think if partners are not delivering that growth, then you have to question what they're doing.
And I think in sort of support of that comment, Laura, in terms of running a sales team, for example, you know, you have a group of people there that are experts in going out and selling the business and winning potential new clients. But ultimately, the start of their journey begins with a conversation with the partner in terms of actually what are that partner's objectives? What are they trying to achieve? What's the go-to-market strategy? You know, what's the overall opportunity? So that's the kind of starting point. And actually all the way through the process, the sales team could be working with the partner. The marketing team can create demand. You can use technology to look at signals from the market, for example. But ultimately, unless a partner moves on it and a partner knows what to do with that, then I don't think anything really gets driven forward. And in terms of the sales team, from my experience, you have people who can actually get a partner in the room. But when it comes to closing the deal or, you know, winning that client, the client wants to deal with someone who's going to kind of manage their risk ultimately. And therefore that's where it sits with the partner. And the partner closes that and then you move on into the client engagement process and the partner develops that relationship, admittedly with potential, you know, support from client development teams or client relationship teams, et cetera, but ultimately that sits with the partner to kind of develop that and grow it and use the support mechanism or the growth function around them to kind of help that support.
I don't disagree with any of that. I just think that we're talking about the primary driver of growth here. And I'd argue that the partner is no longer the primary driver. There's a huge support team around there. Everything that you're saying, I absolutely agree with. But we're talking primary driver here.
You just said support team. There's a support team around that. They're the primary. Sorry to be all lawyer-like and picking the word there. I hate myself for doing that.
I'm way out of my comfort zone here, but thinking about football, you know, you've got your strikers, and you can see I'm running out of my depth here because I just don't know what I'm talking about with football. But as I'm led to believe, you've got your strikers and then you've got your midfield, I don't know, people that are feeding the goals in. It's a team effort. You couldn't do it without the rest of the team. If you've got a whole team full of strikers, nothing happens.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right if you were using football as the analogy. But I would say actually, to some extent, it's more of an individual sport, but with a massive support crew behind you, making sure that you're fed properly, you've slept properly, you've got the best equipment, you've got to your physical peak, you are training at the right levels. I would see it more like that, because ultimately the responsibility to bring in that work, ultimately they have to make sure that they can, you know, deliver more growth than they're taking out of the business. So I would say it's more like an individual sport with a massive support crew that's making you amazing. And without that support crew, let me be really clear, they're never going to get that Olympic gold. So I'm massively with you that the contribution is everything else around that. They're not getting Olympic gold without everything else, but they are still cycling on their own or whatever the analogy would be in a sport terminology.
I think it's really apposite to use sport, but I think we're talking about different sports here. If you're talking about legal services in commoditized markets that are quite transactional, where perhaps the purchase price is relatively small or low, then I would absolutely agree with your contention, Claire, that effectively it could be something other than the partner. It could be brand, it could be technology. I'll give you an example of that. When people are buying an off-the-shelf legal document from an online provider for 300 quid, there's no human contact required there. But for the kinds of legal need that most of us on this call deal with for sophisticated clients, when they're either dealing with large dollar volumes or they're dealing with things that matter most to them, I think in those sports, the human element is far more important. I think we've got to nuance our remarks here by thinking about the audience, the situation and the product or the service.
That's a great point. Definitely the commoditized layer, it's a different kettle of fish. But I'd also argue that at the top layer as well, if you're looking at Magic Circle global firms, people are buying brands at that point. and they're not necessarily buying those particular lawyers, unless you're talking about the big US firms that will kind of lose a part or lose a whole department. If you think about succession, you think about those huge global firms. If a partner moves on, if a partner retires, life goes on. The firm is a machine and it will pick it.
You're right. It might not be the individual partner, but it's the responsibility of that position of a partner. So I think you're right. I don't think it is an individual. The other lens, I'd say, just as Leo's thought about our clients, would also be whether they're general counsel. I think if the buyer is a general counsel, they often like to deal directly with partners. But if the buyer is maybe someone in HR or someone in procurement or someone in real estate, then I think a non-partner can very easily sell to those type of clients. So I think Leo was right to question the argument around what type of client we are selling to. Because if we're talking general counsel, I think it is, they definitely is one lawyer talking to another lawyer. So I do think that's where Claire, given she is on her own, I will give Claire some support on that at that point, that I do think it's slightly different. Yeah.
I'm actually going to disagree with you here, Laura, on a point. I don't think it's just about the role, general counsel versus HR, for example. I think it's about the frequency of purchase, the volume of need. So take an HR director at a large organization that perhaps in financial services that regularly has to deal with sophisticated employment matters. Let's say their bankers have bonuses, and when they're exiting someone, it's very complicated. In those situations where a lot of money is at stake, where reputation is on the line, where the public interest might be piqued, I think those buyers do want strong relationships. Whereas if you look at a business perhaps with a higher volume of needs, perhaps a retailer that might have thousands upon thousands of staff, there might be regular exits of individuals, but it won't make the press, where it won't cost the firm a lot of money. That's more of a transactional purchase. So the point I'm trying to make is I think it's less about the generality of the role and more about the volume and frequency of purchase.
I'd agree with that.
I definitely agree with that as well. And I think, you know, from experience, you know, trying to sell a product from within a law firm can be done by someone who isn't a lawyer. You know, that's quite an easy thing to do. And I think it's when you get that kind of the transference of risk from the client to someone that they really want to talk to and have that conversation with, that's when it needs to be that sort of partner. And that's where actually the partner, then you can get into that kind of growth driver conversation, because actually they're the ones that are leading that and opening up the opportunity to either win new work or win more work from an existing opportunity. So so I support that as well in terms of the actual size or volume that you're dealing with, that really makes a difference. And I do think that as, you know, I don't think that will change as much as you sort of hear in the market with sort of artificial intelligence and the future of legal services technology. I think that, you know, people will still want to have that conversation with a partner at that level when it's a really high value, serious issue, or there's a business critical issue that they want to kind of, you know, they want to instruct legal services on.
I think more often than not now, clients are looking for people who've got lived experience in this space. And so I think that a BD or marketing person, you know, key account manager, whoever it might be, will know that client and know their side of the business incredibly well, far better than the partner will often. And I definitely agree with that. But what they cannot talk with conviction about is the fourth time that they've seen that legal issue. And don't worry, I've got you, because I've been through this multiple times. I know that I could never say that to a client of this firm because I don't have that lived experience. I know that I might have researched that company, know it inside out, but I cannot talk with conviction about a legal issue that I can reassure that client with, which is what they are purchasing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if we look to the future, the next 2, 3, 5 years, I think that becomes even more important, because with the advent of technology and kind of how things are shaping up and the influence that, you know, particularly Gen AI has on our businesses, I think that those human skills and human experiences and credibility are just going to become even more important, because that's what clients will want to hear. They'll want that kind of peace of mind, won't they, I suppose. And technology in particular doesn't doesn't provide that. You know, you can have a fully AI enabled law firm, but ultimately, if you haven't got the driving activity all the way up to the partnership, if you haven't got the partners actually doing the work and winning the business and driving the kind of conversations at that level, then you're never going to have sort of, you're never going to win any clients and you're never going to develop any new growth. In fact, you're more likely to, you know, see a shrink in turnover because you're enabling partners to do work probably more, well, probably too efficiently almost.
I would agree with most of what you said there, Matt, but I think we all need to be quite nimble and fleet of foot with our models around how we do the inverted commas back end work, whether that's data room work or due diligence work or document review. It's also on the front end, how we produce the reports, how we produce the outputs. And I think there's going to be quite a lot of flux in certain areas around the process of doing law, not to lose the expertise of the individuals, but to do the legwork that we've typically put huge volumes of person hours into. So lots and lots of change. The firms that will actually generate positive growth out of this are the ones that figure out how to do that smoothly, provide a strong client journey, and price appropriately to make sure that they're showing clients value from what they're doing. I think the firms that will come unstuck are the ones that really can't navigate how to marry the delivery model change with the benefit change that or the benefit output the clients are seeking.
I'm going to poke. So just quickly, Claire, you were talking earlier, it was a really nice analogy, a sports analogy, and at the risk of dropping a horrific pun, it's almost like a last kick attribution where the striker, in your instance, the partner gets the credit. Are you aware of, or have you experienced deals where you could say, sticking with this metaphor, partners played more of a defensive or midfielder role?
That's a good question. I guess I can see sometimes, and I'm sure you see it across lots of firms, you've got partners with different strengths. So you've got some partners who are much better at doing the work or much better at rallying the team, much better at kind of corralling or project managing the piece of work. And then you've got your other sort of superstars, your rainmakers, who are the ones that are kind of out there winning the work. And so I can definitely see sort of experiences where you've had some of the partners playing a bigger role earlier on in the process and then leaving it to somebody else to come in and seal the deal.
So I guess I'm interested, Claire, if you don't think it's the partners that are the primary drivers of growth, who do you think are?
I think the partners play a huge role, but I think it's a real team effort. So it's absolutely the partners, it's the client team, it's the relationship team, it can be the marketing and business development team. It's a team sport.
I would agree, definitely a team sport. And if you don't have all of the right players on the pitch at the right time playing together, you can end up in a situation where your star partners are disabled, no one's feeding them the ball and they can't shoot for the goal. I've probably gone too far in the analogy there. But you do need the right team, and you need the right team with the right strategy playing together.
And I would say, to continue loving this football analogy, you can say we're recording this during the World Cup. I would say that's all lovely, but every team sport needs a captain. And the captain here in this instance is the partner. There we go. That's my analogy.
I'm going to continue it and say I agree with you, you need a captain, but sometimes the manager who's not on the pitch, who could be a chief growth officer or a chief commercial officer or a chief marketing officer, needs to have a hand on strategy and a hand on team selection so that the partner, when they're on the pitch, can have the right tools in front of them.
Love that.
Yeah, very good.
Very good.
I mean, I can't give you any football analogies because it's not a sport of interest of mine. But from a music perspective, I can probably go there with a lead singer and the rest of the band. and you know, you may kind of know what lead singers are like. However, I do agree with your point, Claire, in terms of actually, you know, it is a massive team effort. And ultimately, you know, if you haven't got all the right drivers behind it, and what I would like to refer to as a kind of like a growth function that supports what the partners are doing, then yeah, you know, things will fall over. And so I suppose I propose to you, would you kind of say that it's probably, in terms of drivers of growth, primary drivers of growth, would you say that partners orchestrate growth rather than are primary drivers of it?
Some of them do and some of them don't. I think the orchestration of it, probably depending on the organisation and depending on the particular relationship, if it could exist with the relationship partner, in which case, yes, they would be orchestrating growth for that particular client. But I think, coming back to something you mentioned earlier, it seems very convenient that we've shifted from looking at growth broadly, so just talking about existing relationships, we're missing those new clients too. So if you're thinking about orchestration, I would absolutely say that marketing and business development teams have a key role to play in orchestrating. I'm really mixing the metaphors here, kind of where you're pointing at goal. I don't know.
I think you're talking tactics here.
Oh, that's the bell. The bell's gone. The bell's gone. Challenges back to your corners, please. No punches after the bell's gone, please, Matthew. Matt, even. So I'm using a full name as if I'm your mother.
I was going to say, yeah, that's literally the only person who calls me by that name. Yeah. Yeah.
apologies. Okay, right. So it's now time for the last round of closing statements. So, I mean, please, if we've managed to move the needle at all, or we've managed to find some grayscale you were previously not perhaps considering, or if your opinion has changed wholeheartedly, now is the time. It's your chance to land an eloquent uppercut to claim victory and leave your opponents out for the count. First up, hit us with it, Matt.
I don't think I kind of want to deliver an uppercut at all, because I think there's been some really interesting and kind of really valid points across the board. But, you know, I'm unfortunately not going to change my position on this, because I do believe that, you know, as I said before, you know, the partners are the ones that hold those relationships and have the ability to win new relationships as well, from, you know, going back to that experience point, the experience and credibility that they have. From sort of Laura's point, I think, you know, the question that you asked, Laura, actually, if partners aren't primary drivers of growth, then kind of who is? I think that's quite a valid one.
Okay, thank you. Well, moving on to you, Laura, we're doing reverse order.
So I think Claire raised some great points. I think the bigger question that Claire raised was, have the rest of the firm got enough recognition for the part they play in growth? And for that part, I agree with Claire. I think there's still more to be done to understand that actually no partner can succeed without all those other bits that Claire referred to that play a huge vital role in winning work. And so I think actually more work needs to be done to sometimes recognize that. And sometimes the danger of talking about partners being the main growth engine is what skews that. And I certainly wouldn't want anyone to think that I don't think that there isn't a huge role that everyone is playing on that pitch. But I close by saying that all of that might be vital, and without those people, we would struggle. But the truth is, overwhelmingly, the clients are choosing the partners, and the growth in any law firm, ultimately, the primary, which was the question, comes to the partners.
I agree that growth is a team sport. But I was talking earlier on about the four R's: recognition, reputation, relationships, and revenue. And the point I made earlier on, which I'll stand by, is I think we have to nuance our view on who plays what role based on the client audience and the need and the service or product that we're offering. So I stick by my view, but I accept that there are different situations where you need different skills or different players on the pitch, as well as a strong captain and the right backroom staff.
Love that.
Brilliant. And with one flourish, Claire, over to you.
Well, I mean, it's not to say I don't have a growth mindset, but I still support the motion. This was never an argument that the partners don't matter. It's about them being the primary driver. And I think there are so many scenarios that we can think about across every firm every day where they're not necessarily the primary driver. They may be in certain instances, but not all the time. So I still support the motion.
Clearly, no one is going to throw in the towel or land a knockout blow. So we'll leave this one a draw and leave you to decide who actually won. If today's show has left you wondering whose corner you're really on in the growth versus marketing versus biz dev debate, that's precisely what we get into in the proper marketing guide to law and professional services. Our take on why so much law firm marketing looks and sounds the same, and what distinctiveness actually requires instead. If you'd like a copy of the guide, or you spot any tasty spats that could be settled on our next show, please do let us know, either by finding Gasp online or emailing the mouthful that is calltoaction@gasp.agency. And finally, thank you everyone for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, please do share and review. We really value your support. Can't get
call to action. I can't get no call to action, but I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. Yeah, hey, hey.